Well, I think that when you look at what they're entering into as one, really what they're saying is, we're all responsible for this covenant, for the curse. It's not just when something goes wrong, it's not my brethren who are responsible. It's not the nobles who are responsible. I'm responsible. We're responsible. We're one in this. It's really a shared responsibility across the whole. No matter what position the Lord may put you in, we're all members the same of the body of Christ. When one member suffers, we all suffer. And when there's a problem, you can't just look at, oh, it's the older brethren, it's their problem, so let them deal with it. Oh, it's my brother, I don't have really anything to do with this. The reality is, when there is this unity, there is a responsibility that's shared. And there's no one who could say, I don't have a part of that. We all have a part of it. Once you know the Lord Jesus as Savior, you, like it or not, are a part of it. And that's really what they're doing. They're entering into this unity, this oath together, saying, doesn't matter positionally, doesn't matter priest, Levite, we're one in this.
And just to add to that, I think we see that come out in this chapter when we consider what's already been said, when we look at the list of names, when we look at those that were here mentioned, the nobles and the priests, the nobles, and the sons, the daughters, everyone. You have there the individual responsibility. So we have to, as individuals, enter into the exercise that the Lord is leading us through and take individual responsibility. And then we come to the collective aspect and the collective testimony. And that's where we have in verse 29, when they cleave to their brethren. So to make application for us today, right? So that there's the individual responsibility that we have in our relationship with the Lord and our testimony before the Lord. And then collectively as the body of believers, that we have a responsibility as well.
There's that well-known passage about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but the verse tied to that is that the purpose of cleaving to your brethren, one of the purposes is to consider one another and provoke each other to love and to good works. Mm-hmm. That's Hebrews 10:24 and 25.
So this provoking unto love and good works is seen in this entering into a curse and into an oath. And we have this connotation of a curse today, vulgarity, etc. But it really is the thought of denouncing something that is offensive to God. It is to look at what we once did, what we were practicing. You know, in particular here was the things that they had picked up from the nations. And I think we cannot stress enough, young people, that there are a lot of things that we pick up from the world. We have got to evaluate those things. And we have to denounce them. What I listen to, what I go see, where I'm comfortable. We had an older brother that used to say to us, if the world is comfortable with you, something is wrong with you. That was 40 years ago, I remember that. So here was this provoking unto love and good works. Listen, we are one. Who do we have? I ask myself this all the time. You know, sometimes you get upset with the brethren, you know? We don't see eye to eye on things. And I say to myself, where am I going to go? Who else do I have? Who else do I know? And so this cleaving together is so important. I think Paul speaks to Timothy about the thought of closing ranks. You know, if you're in the military and you're in a regiment, and there's a large distance between the first man and the second man and the third and the fourth, You know, the enemy can pick you off very quickly. It's the reason why you have to close ranks. Walk closely together. Lock arm in arm. Be supporters one of another. Sometimes we want us to, the world tries to separate, what's that word?
Divide
and conquer. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants some of us to be on the perimeter, the periphery. He picks us off. We want to be closed in rank, locked together. As Brother Dan said, like glue, like the husband and wife that are cleaving together as one. And then we can provoke each other to love and good works. That's wrong. And you should say it, and I should say it. And here are the good things. Here's what we want to commit to the Lord. We want to commit that the things that we have learned, the things that we have been taught and instructed in, we want to continue in those things. So that as the Lord tarries, and Brother Emil gets more gray hair and long beard, and you know, you get older and you can't stand up as straight as you used to say, you know, I'm going to be a brother in 20 years if the Lord tarries, that'll be here helping. I'm going to be a sister that will be a supporter of a husband if he gives me a husband, raising children for God, someone that can be counted on in the meeting. Those are the things that we provoke unto love and good works.
Interesting thing about the phrase, the curse and the oath. We talk about New Year's resolutions, Uncle Emo, and that's really something that God doesn't really look for in us to take. Yeah, it's both. But because really, when you look in the New Testament, in John 14, verse 15, Lord Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So it's an expectation. In Romans, it says it's our divine or reasonable service is to really to keep his commandments. In 2 Corinthians 5, there's just two verses I want to quick read. Verse 14 and 15, it says, the love of Christ constrains us, because we judge that if one died for all, then we were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them. And so there's no other motivation. It's not some resolution in our mind. It's a daily walk with the Lord. It's reasonable. It's intelligent. It's divine to serve him in this way, to grow on a daily basis, not just come up with some resolution and curse yourself if you fail in it and reward yourself if you succeed in it.
And looking at verse 29, to see what they said, that they entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in the law of God, which had been given by Moses, the servant of God, and to keep and do all the commandments of the Lord, our Lord, and his ordinances and statutes. It's just the phrase, to keep and to do all the commandments of the Lord, our Lord. And it reminds me of what the Israelites initially said, that all that Jehovah has commanded us, we will do. It's very, very difficult to say that. And it's wonderful to commit ourselves and to say, I want to serve the Lord. I want to rededicate my life to him. And after you've confessed, but we need to realize that we can't just say these things. There needs to be the power of the Spirit of God in our lives enabling us to do this. Because we cannot do this by ourselves. And it's not that it's hard to keep the commandments of the Lord, because it's not. Because Scripture says his commandments are not grievous. It's not that it's too hard, but it's that we fail so often. And so we need to recognize our inability to do anything for the Lord apart from him. And so when we have this desire to dedicate ourselves, we need to also, with the Lord's help, we need to just acknowledge that our need of the Lord to enable us to do these things that we want to do for him.